Welcome to the podcast masterclass from Ginger Wizard Productions, the podcast all about podcasting. My name is Nick Wilmshurst and I make podcasts for other people for a living. I used to work for the BBC in radio for more than 20 years and now I'm bringing all of that experience of working with sound and getting the best from people to you. In this series, we're looking more in depth at the tips and tricks you can use to make your podcast sound amazing by speaking to people who really know what they're doing. Coming up in this episode,
there's just no way that you can please everybody. There's far too many people, right? And if they don't like it, they can always scroll on. There's a lot of podcasts out there, let's be honest.
And then there's this.
And she didn't look up from her notebook. She didn't miss a beat. She just went, you're not Madonna, get over yourself.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're Madonna and you're listening in, sorry to tell you, love. You need to be worried. All sounds so tempting, doesn't it? Stick around. But before we do get stuck into today's episode, which is all about confidence and coming across with authority as a host, and ask of you, please leave me a review and subscribe. It really helps us out. And of course, you'll be the first to know when a new episode makes its way to your favourite podcasting platform. A win, win, win. And don't forget, if you hear something that you want to comment on, a suggestion of something I should cover, or you just need my help, you can email nick@gingerwizard.co.uk. And on today's episode, we're on tour again, this time at the Woodlawn Cafe in Horsforth in Leeds. And we're going to hear from Barbara Nixon. She's a success and leadership coach for business leaders, and she's a podcast host. I think that is possibly the most important thing. Did you know she also roast coffee with her other half? More on that later. And has also had a go at stand-up and improv comedy.
Yeah. You're Hi, like how are you doing?
Ryan Stiles. Do you remember him from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I used to love that show.
It was a great show, wasn't it?
It was. I saw them
Josie
live.
Josie Lawrence as well.
Not long ago, maybe a year, 2 years ago, I saw them live.
Was that at the Playhouse
Leeds? That was at York, somewhere in York. I think it was the Barbican or something like that. But it was ace.
We're already miles off topic, but I like this. Right. What did Ryan Stiles look like? Because I saw a picture of him not long ago and he looked no different.
He doesn't look any different.
Weird, huh?
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else. I remember Paul Merton. I'm trying to think of the lineup now.
You know who's come back recently?
Who?
Tony Slattery.
He was brilliant.
He was, there's a story right there.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, because I think he had his troubles.
Oh, okay.
And
but on the show, he was good.
On the show, he was excellent.
Yeah.
Let's get back to it.
Yes, let's go back. Right, so we've got a cup of tea. Thanks for inviting me.
Hi, Barbara.
This is nice, isn't it?
We've got a cup of tea each.
Yes, we have. Cheers.
Interesting, you haven't gone for coffee.
No.
What with your roasting background?
Yeah, well, I haven't got a roasting background, but Dave has, my lovely other half.
Let's not get into that now. That's for later.
Okay, that's later.
A little bit of a tease there. So, first of all, tell us what a success and leadership coach does.
Okay, so where can I start with that? So I've been in the people development and leadership space for, 27 years now this year, which is like a scarily long time. And what I do essentially is I work with senior leaders and execs and managing directors, business leaders, to help them remove the blocks that are holding them back and get the success that they want, both in and out of work. So whether that's getting more time, getting out of the weeds, empowering the team, or just focusing on themselves, like sidestepping things like self-doubt, fear of failure, imposter syndrome, all the human traits that we all kind of experience from time to time, so that I can help them just be high-performing leaders.
And you're telling me that people, even at that level, experience self-doubt.
Yeah.
You know, we've got this picture of them bobbing around on the med in their yachts.
Yeah.
The helicopter's coming to take them to the casino a bit later on.
I love it in your head.
I know, it's great in
it's
here.
So good.
It's so good. And these people are still experiencing self-doubt, self-loathing.
Well, I never said self-loathing.
Right, okay.
You said that.
That's what I experienced.
You said that. Yeah, of course. Nobody's got it all figured out, right? Nobody has, because we're all human. Well, we see it all the time, so that we get, no matter where you are, you'll get points of where you start to think, oh, am I good enough? Can I actually do this? Do I know what I'm doing? All of those little things that come to haunt us that actually stop us in our tracks. And I actually think that they're a good thing. I know you're painting a bit of a bleak picture, but actually it's a great sign if you're experiencing this. It might not feel like it, but it shows that you're actually stretching your comfort zone, that you're working, you're up-leveling. And the only objective that your subconscious mind has got is to keep you safe. And the only way that it can do that is to keep you in the familiar and what we know as our comfort zone. So it's a completely natural thing.
So what you're saying is, as soon as I think I've made it, that's when I should panic.
You know, you might be all right. You might be all right. Who knows? Right. But if you're not, give us a call.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, but hey, look at that. Look at that's how you do it, everybody.
That's how
it's done.
Yeah, so you never know. For some people that they experience different blocks. It might be constantly starting again. It might be lurching from one thing to another and not staying on track. It could be a lot of different things. But it's all just your subconscious mind trying to keep you safe.
We're here to talk about podcasts.
We are.
So let's talk about that. You're a success coach. Mm-hmm. We've established that. Very good sounding one at that, Barbara.
Thank you
very
much.
Reasonable.
Reasonable.
In cost. But it's a lot about confidence, isn't it, podcasting? And I think if you sound confident in a podcast, then people buy into you pretty quickly. So a bit of advice, I guess, here with those that are fairly new to it, what's your advice for getting confident behind the mic when you're not? And that's such a difficult one. I do speak to a lot of people that are doing it for the first time who suddenly realize they've never done this before. This
is exciting, brand new. Right,
well, it's exciting, but also that is uncharted territory. There's no map, there's not a lot of stuff out there on the internet to help you be a host of a podcast. How do people navigate that?
The short answer is to just do it. Just do it. We can overthink everything, can't we? And try it. Certainly in my experience, when I've seen this popping up, you can, when you're overthinking, you're aiming for perfection, right? So you start planning and you get all the right gear and you start thinking about what you're going to talk about in your show. And it can... One, it can stop you from actually starting. You can stay in that planning mode forever and a day because you're never going to be perfect. Or you can start to record and then re-record and re-record and re-record and go over and over and over because you're never, ever going to be happy. So first of all, I'd let go of perfection because, again, some of the best podcasts that I listen to are just two people riffing. I mean, look at me and you right now.
This is great, isn't it?
They were just sat in a coffee shop, you know, having a cup of tea. It's all very just put together.
It's very New York, I'd
say.
It's
very New York. You know what it reminds me of?
Go on.
You know that show, I think it's on Netflix, with Jerry Seinfeld. Have you seen it? Comedians in cars drinking coffee.
Oh, my sister loves this.
I know, I love it as well. I know, that's what we're doing. We're just kind of riffing. We're just chilling.
Yeah.
And it's going to make great listening, I'm hoping. Let me know if it's really annoying. But people will be like at the gym and driving the car and walking the dog and do it. That's how I listen to podcasts. And the whole idea behind it is that it's just to be a fly on the wall in a conversation, that overhearing a conversation in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. So if you let go of perfection and just riff about your topic, you can just get started. And then in time, like with anything, you'll get better and better and better and your confidence will grow.
Just do it.
Just do it. Who said that?
That's Nike.
Nike.
Or Nike.
Oh, Nike. Yeah, just do it. You started podcasting for a reason, and that's what you've got to focus on. What is the purpose? Why are you actually doing it? And take away the things that, you know, that obviously you're going to be serving and reaching more people. But it's also so much fun.
Oh, do you know, it's a laugh, isn't it?
I get to talk to, like, the best people on my podcast that would probably never have a cup of tea with me normally.
No.
You know?
This is the thing I've always found about working in this kind of thing. Working on the BBC for all that time. It meant you got access to all kinds of people. Prime Ministers... Comedians, musicians.
Me, I popped in.
You came in. And it's great. And podcasting for me is kind of an extension of that. You just kind of think, I want to talk to them about this, to talk to person X about Y. And you just ask.
And you
they might say yes. They might say yes.
And most of the time they do say yes.
Yeah, they do.
They do, because this is fun. And people know that it's fun now.
Exactly.
And it's a platform for people to be heard, which is fab.
Yeah.
So you do get, it is fun. You do get to talk to the best people. You do get to kind of riff. And you know what? Because it's your podcast, you get to do what you want. Nobody's telling you how it should be and the style. You get to choose.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Let's talk about criticism.
Okay.
I think criticism and podcasting is a fascinating thing because I don't think that many people face that much criticism directly because of their podcast. I think it more happens online.
Yeah.
My background is sitting in a room with a boss tearing a strip off you because you did something wrong on the radio, right? For this, it's for podcasting, I think it's a bit different. People get criticised more from behind a computer screen, maybe than verbally, but it still can affect you. I asked this question of BBC presenter Rima Ahmed in a previous episode. Her advice was just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
What's your advice when it comes to criticism? How do you handle it?
I think that's about it. You've got to just ignore it. Because you're never going to please everybody. You're just never going to please everybody. And you, whatever they're criticising you about, you obviously said it, you know, believed in it for that moment or whatever, you know, it's in your podcast. So stand by it and just go with it. Whatever, you know, it might be the guest that you've got on, it might be the quality of your podcast. If it's something you can do something about, fantastic. If not, and it adds to your podcast, then you're going to just have to ignore it because there's just no way that you can please everybody. There's far too many people, right? And if they don't like it, they can always scroll on. There's a lot of podcasts out there, let's be honest.
There are literally millions.
They can choose another one if they really don't like it. They can just scroll on.
What happens if you're a people pleaser?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to take you down a dark alley here, Barbara. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there who do podcasts that just want people to enjoy it and enjoy them. And a little knock like, didn't think that was very good.
Mm.
I mean, I'm going off on my own tangent here, but I was looking at something the other day on LinkedIn that where they were talking about people that complained about stuff in their podcast. And they were saying, well, you know, the interesting thing is there, if you take it out for that one person who complained, there might be another four that really love what you were doing. And that interests me a little bit. Like, how much weight do you think? Because I believe you need to pay a little bit of weight to people that, you know, give you feedback of any description. But you kind of need to balance it. What do you think?
There are a couple of different questions that you've asked there. So,
there's lots. Yeah. It was rambling. I apologise.
So in terms of people pleasing, we've all been brought up. I say before, that's such a sweeping statement, isn't it? So many of us have been brought up to make other people happy and to people please and to be good, right? So the fact that that's your intention and you want to make your listeners happy and serve them, that's a great place to come from. That's a really, really great place. You're so right. For every person that gives you any negative feedback, there's probably four or five, even more, that love it, that really love it. The problem is that they might not be as loud. Yeah. So we have to just assume that actually that it's they're okay. You know, everybody else is all right. Or ask people, ask your audience. What do you think? How do you think it's going? Especially if you've just set something up.
I think you're so right. People, I think, forget when they're doing this podcasting thing that on the other end of this are humans. We're not doing this for AI.
Yeah.
And actually, they're probably quite willing to just have a chat with you.
Yeah. And when I remember when I set my podcast up, I'd have people like send me a message and say, oh, I really loved it. I really liked it. I really enjoyed that episode. So I kept them. I kept those bits, you know, those emails. Or if somebody stopped me, you know, maybe it was one of my clients or a networking event, they went, oh, I listened to that. Or somebody maybe on LinkedIn said, oh, I enjoyed that episode. I kept those snippets or I wrote them down. So on those days where you're just having a rough day, as we all do, where you think, oh, why am I bothering, you know, this is just so much hard work and what am I getting for it? We all have those thoughts pop into our head. that's when you need to pull them out and think, actually, I'm doing a good job and I'm actually making a difference. And I always have the belief, and I do, I've always had this with just social media in general, I kind of have this belief that it's getting to the person who needs it the most, you know? I just want to, that even if it's just that one person that needs to hear what I've got to say today, then that's all right with me, you know? So, and that, I just have that in the back of my mind all the time.
That's a nice way to think about it, I have to say.
Thank you.
It's
all right. Thank you. keeps me going. Yeah,
keeps me going. How do you, you've done, I forget how many you've done now, into the 80s?
Yeah, we've got 85.
85?
Yeah.
85 podcasts in total.
Mm-hmm.
And
episodes.
Episodes. Yeah, 85 different podcasts.
Can you imagine?
Launched 85 different
shows.
I've just
been busy.
how do you go around the whole getting ready for a chat with somebody?
Mm.
And sort of confidently walk in there, or walk into that chat thinking, I've got enough here.
Oh, that's such a good question, and probably I'm probably not the right person to ask for that, you know.
I've got a feeling you might be a bit of a suck it and see.
How do you know that? Do you think that's how I turned up today, do you reckon, when you said, oh, so what we're talking about today?
Not presuming
then?
Anything.
Yeah, I am. And I think, one, because that's what I do for a living, you know. I don't prepare in terms of my coaching clients because I don't know what people are going to want to talk about or what's... on their agenda in that, so I'm, go on.
And I was just going to say, and that's a skill in itself.
That's a skill in itself, and I've been doing that for a long time. And so I lean on that, and I really trust that the right thing's going to come out in terms of the conversation. My whole thing is about being curious. So I've always, even from when I was little, you know, I've been curious about people. I love people. I'm really interested in what makes them tick and what they've been up to and all everything else that's going on behind closed doors. I just like to get, you know, have those conversations. So if I'm curious about you and you say something just as we're talking, then we'll go down the right way. We're going to have just a really good chat. So I don't do an awful lot of research. The only thing I do is I'll make sure that we've got, that you're a good fit for the podcast. So if you, because obviously my podcast is all about personal development and leadership, and although that's a huge umbrella in itself, which is great, I'm not, if you were going to talk about, I don't know, I can't think of a topic now, if you're going to talk about something outside of that, like, I don't know, I really can't think of a topic that would fall outside of that now, but if it was, then you just wouldn't be a good fit.
Yeah.
Or if I feel that I wouldn't be able to be interested and talk to you for an hour, then people are probably not going to listen to you.
Crikey. So what you're saying there is, if you don't get invited on Barbara's podcast...
Yeah. No, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah, I invite so many people.
That's
why I've done 85. Yeah. I don't know what the answer is there. So it's just about, it's about that fit, whether it's, I feel as though it's going to be a good fit and we're going to have a really good conversation. And most of the time we've chatted beforehand anyway. So we'll have had a Zoom chat or we'll have chatted somewhere else. And so I've got to know you. It's not, I don't tend to bring people onto the podcast completely cold. You know, it's not like you've just walked in off the street and, oh, let's have a chat on the podcast. I wouldn't do that. I want to make sure that it's going to be of value and my listeners are going to enjoy it.
Yeah. How has it changed from episode 1 to episode 85? And how has your confidence developed alongside that?
I love that question. How has it changed? Probably a lot and not that much as well. So I've changed in terms of what I how I feel about my podcast. So it's been a journey of self-discovery as my podcast, because it's not the first podcast that I've done. I've had, I think, probably about 4 podcasts now.
Wow.
And none of them have lasted the test of time. Apart from this one, this is the one that I've got furthest with.
And is that because you're kind of using it as a tool to promote yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shouldn't be ashamed of that.
No,
that's
it's a
absolutely
brilliant tool
fine.
For that, yeah.
Or is it because it's just a format that's kind of worked a bit more?
Both. So if I think of my previous podcasts, they were earlier iterations of my business and my personal brand and where I was at the time. So we're going back years and I wasn't the same person. I also didn't, this is a big thing, I didn't understand the work and energy that would go on behind the scenes. So, and it takes a lot of it. It's like running a marathon is having a podcast. So I've just fell off the wagon and I didn't forgive myself for that earlier on. So in previous podcasts, I wanted to have an episode every single week, and then one, I don't know, there'd have been a week where I missed it for whatever reason, or I fell behind creating the episodes. And so I thought, oh, I'm done. You know, I struggled to get back on the wagon. And before I knew it, I was just one more podcast that's not had an episode for a while. So this time round, I gave myself permission to put an episode out when I wanted to. And just because that's the way I work, right?
The algorithm will hate it. You know, algorithms will hate you for that. But I think...
But I love me for that.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that's the thing. Because I think a lot of people will tell you that, you know, if you want it to be successful, you've got to get it, you know, out. But actually, once you've arrived at that decision that actually I'm doing this for myself, I can promote it myself. You know, I've got enough people on my social medias to... for it to work. Why not?
Yeah, and I've really had to make peace with that, because let's face it, that advice is right. If you want your podcast to do really, really well, you want to do it consistently. So you're talking every single week without fail, get it done, right? I really struggle to work like that. I just do. I listen to lots of podcasts that work like that, so they might not have an episode for a month, and we'll talk about what my schedule is in a second. They might not have a schedule, an episode for a month, but then they do, and I'm like, oh, it's popped up on my phone, that's great, I'll listen to it. You know, there's very few podcasts actually, now that I'm really thinking about it, that I listen to every single week without fail. And maybe that's just me, but because that's me, I kind of figure, oh, there might be other people like that. I've made peace with that, because I'd rather do it my way then and be a bit more chilled about it then it take over my life.
I
don't want it to become a full-time job, you know.
I was on I won't mention the podcast, but I was on a podcast with a kind of like business fixer.
Mm-hmm.
And his suggestion was, well, why don't you do one as you every day in a year, every day for a year, and I thought, well, yeah, I mean that would be great.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't think for me that works.
Yeah, and that's what you've got to decide on. What is going to work for you? Yeah. Remember, it's your podcast. It's a tool for your business or your platform. When I first started, I decided to do a podcast a day for an entire month. And I think it was January, so it's the long month anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think I missed one day, and then I did two the next day. And I literally did it every single day. And there were only like 5-minute episodes, but I showed up every single day and did it. And it was nice, because I got into a bit of a rhythm. And then and there were some days where I thought, oh, I can't go to bed, I've not done a podcast. And I'd jump on, you know, and it was very rough and ready and just all done raw. And it was great. They're not the most listened to episodes on my podcast, not by a long shot, right? I did it for me, and I thought, all right, I've ticked that box, fine. I don't know why I decided on that challenge, but I kind of done it. I don't want to do it. I don't need to do it again. But, and it, the listeners are saying, actually, they're not the ones that I listen to.
Yeah.
So in time, once you've experimented with a few things, your analytics will tell you what works.
And what doesn't.
And what doesn't, exactly that.
Those are the ones I look at.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
Let's talk about your career or your sideline career of coffee roasting.
Okay, so that's not... I don't know how to roast coffee. However,
I know a man who does.
So my lovely hubby runs a coffee roastery not a million miles away from here, actually. There, it's called Pebble and Pine, but it's all online. He wouldn't ever let me near that coffee roaster, not in at all, because I don't know, you wouldn't want to drink my coffee.
I know, because we're drinking tea.
Right, I love tea. I love tea. Nice cup of tea.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's that. So it is a business that I'm very interested in because it's his business, you know. And yeah, he does. It's great fun. It's great fun for him. But he's not a podcaster. I was just thinking about him, actually, as I was talking. I thought, there's no way that he'd get on a podcast.
Let's talk about... we're here to talk about podcasting and confidence. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've covered quite a bit of that. One thing that would scare the living bejesus out of me is stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You've done that.
Yeah.
How was it? How did you go down? How did you feel when you came off stage after that? There's three questions.
It's
a three-prong attack.
Okay, so the reason I did it was, quite a number of years ago, we're going back a long time, into the midst of time, I started out of the blue struggling with stage fright. And considering the nature of my job, I've stood in front of people talking my entire career. So I always kind of figured that I'd nailed that. Well, not, you know, you're always getting better and better, but I was able to do that. And then I started struggling with stage fright.
Where did that come from?
I've kind of got a few theories about that. And I think it kind of... it came at the time where I left my corporate career, started my own business, and there was an awful lot going on in my personal life as well, but I think it was just like a bit of a perfect storm, really. And I could no longer hide behind, you know, being in corporate, as in a big company logo. All of a sudden it was now me, Barbara Nixon, and so I felt, you know, maybe a little bit vulnerable or
that's
exposed.
That I think a lot of people don't talk about when you go out on your own. Is that exposed feeling?
Yeah.
Suddenly, you kind of feel like you are on that tightrope with no safety net.
There's nobody that nobody's coming to save you, and it's all on you. So, like now, you've started your own business. You're no longer hiding. When I say hiding, you're not behind any kind of company brand, which we both were back in our corporate days. And so all of a sudden it was now me, Barbara Nixon, and talking about the stuff that I decided to talk about and not that was some part of some other company agenda. And I think that all kind of came together and came and hit me with, oh, you're going to be frightened of speaking in front of people now. Guess what? Surprise. So that happened. And I remember thinking, I tried to get past it, and I kept still working, and it got worse and worse. And I thought, right, I've got a decision to make now. Either I do something completely different and stop, or I do something about it. And I knew that actually this is what I'm here to do. I've not done anything else. This is what I've done it for nearly, you know, 30 years. And I thought, and I enjoy it, and I don't want to give it up. So it's time to go right back to basics and sort my head out.
So at what point did you go, the way to sort this out is to do stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't equate in my mind
at
all.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? I wanted to do something that scared the bejeebers out of me completely. So I was so frightened, right, so I feel the edge, but that was completely safe. So I knew that if I did that, and I'll talk about it, so I didn't just find a bar and go up on stage and so there was like a process.
That would be horrendous.
Well, I'm sure people do it, but I didn't do that. So I knew that if I did that, there was nothing at stake. You know, I wasn't going to... I'd still be living in the same house and married to the same person and doing the same job and all the rest of it.
Oh my God, that is such a good way of dealing with anxiety, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought nothing's going to... It's actually safe but scary at the same time. Yeah. And it was terrifying. And considering, bear in mind that I was struggling with stage fright anyway, during that time. So I went on a course to do, and the course is brilliant. It's here in Leeds. You can put a show notes in, put a link in your show notes if you want to, or get in touch with me on LinkedIn and I'll direct you there. So it's a 6-week course run by an amazing comedian, and you learn just how to. You learn about being, not so much being funny, but how to be creative and how to think differently and how to have confidence standing on stage. And then, and at the end of it, you have a graduation where you stand on stage and you're in front of, for us it was a bar in Leeds, in front of people, real life people, in a comedy night. And the morning, and this is really funny, the morning that it was happening, I just regressed to being 5, right? And I just hid under the duvet. And I remember, like, Dave walked past and he went, "You don't have to do it." And I said, "We both know that I'm going to do it, but I'm just going to hide here for a bit. Just need to hide for a little minute. All right, so that's it." And then it was on that night, and I was so terrified. I was just so scared. And my lovely hubby had invited... So he came along to support me. But he'd invited a few of my closest friends as well, which at the time I wanted to kill him for. But it turned out that that was the best move, because I knew I had some cheerleaders in the crowd. I mean, bear in mind that it was a graduation of a course, so everybody there was not a bad audience. Everybody was there for the right reasons, and it was so lovely because I wasn't the only one going up. There was a whole class going up and doing their thing. I was probably the most scared, I think, but mate, I don't know.
Well, this is, you don't know that.
I don't
do
know
you?
That. In my head, yeah, I was.
There could have been some very good actors there.
Well,
there?
Exactly. Yeah. And it was fantastic. I loved it. I did it for about, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes or something like that. And then I came off and I'd have done it again straight after. I'd have just done it again straight after.
The roller coaster effect.
Yeah. The high that you get from that, just the laughs and also being yourself on stage, it taught me so much about speaking. That I made a decision roundabout. There was a couple of other things that I did as well. But I made the decision at that point that I only ever wanted to go on stage and be completely me. So whether that meant... you know, talking about the things that I was really comfortable with, or, you know, wearing trainers on stage and not trying to be suited and booted, and, you know, things like that that just made me think, actually, this is me, Barbara, being on stage, doing me. And it just makes you so much more relaxed. And around that time, I had a bit of a lesson about it's all about service. It was a huge lesson. I don't know whether I've told this story so many times. But I was, again, around that time, I was doing a webinar and there was about 100 and odd people on this webinar. And it was back when webinars were new, right? Can we imagine the time when there was like... But webinars were new. And I had all these people coming on it, and I was scared. And I was sat at home thinking, oh my God, I'm going to... What if I'm rubbish? What if I do a bad job? All these things kept going round and round in my head. And I went upstairs, and the only person in my house was my teenage daughter, my eldest daughter. I mean, she's 28 now, and she was only like, I don't know, 13, 14, something like that. And I walked into her room thinking, I need somebody, anybody, right? Please help me. And she was like doodling on a notebook. And I says, Hannah, I'm really nervous. I'm doing this big webinar. I'm so scared. And she didn't look up from her notebook. She didn't miss a beat. She just went, "You're not Madonna. Get over yourself." And honestly, it was the slap down that I needed, because I realised actually these people hadn't paid like £300 to come and see me. But they were there because they wanted to learn something. That's all. I mean, it could have been you delivering the webinar. They weren't there coming to see me. They just wanted to learn something about the topic. So it literally shocked me out of my fear, because I thought... Just you need to teach them, bless them, they're just coming to learn something in their lunch hour, and I'm focusing on me, on the fact that I'm not good enough and I might say something wrong. But actually, if I just focus on service and being the best person for them, then surely that's the best thing to do. And I did that, and things just changed. I started to be a lot more chilled and relaxed, and it just got easier, because it's just about the other person.
I think we can all take something away from that. Anyone that's listening to this now, next time you're a little bit het up or anxious about anything, you're not Madonna.
You're not Madonna.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're Madonna and you're listening in, sorry to tell you, love. You need to be worried. You need to be worried.
But do you know what? That it reminded me of this the other day because we were watching Taylor Swift's Eras concert on TV. And my youngest is a big Swiftie. And there was a point in the concert where Taylor stood up. She was on stage, obviously, but she just... And the crowd was cheering. And she stood there, feet planted, with 70-odd thousand people cheering and shouting her name and stuff. And she just received the adulation, you know, the cheers and stuff. She just stood there and owned the stage. And I remember saying, God, what must that feel like? What must it feel like?
I mean, let's tangentialise again, because I enjoy this, but you can see why some performers just go off the rails, because that feeling
it must be such a high, right?
I was having a chat, you know, it was Glastonbury last year, and we were watching Elton John, and my wife said, surely he's made his money, he does not need to do this anymore. And I just sort of sat there, and I don't think it's the money.
It's not the money.
It's the people. It's the adulation. Yeah, it's a drug, surely.
But
to live in that moment and
just
appreciate
receive it.
Yeah.
Just receive. And that's what I took from it. It was, she planted her feet on the stage and she received it. She owned the stage. She was confident in that moment. Now, there's been so many times where I've been on not in front of 70,000 people, granted, you know.
That webinar was busy.
No, it was full that day. But yeah, so I've been on in front of people and you might have been pacing up and down, or you might have been, you know, you're feeling nervous, whereas she literally just planted. And I think it's kind of next level, isn't it? Just learning how to own the stage. And again, we can come back to podcasting. This is your podcast, so just own your voice and own the podcast and just really enjoy it. That's what she was doing, enjoying it.
We've ended on Taylor Swift being an inspiration yeah. for podcasting.
My 16-year-old would be so pleased to Mum of the Year.
And I think that's brilliant. Barbara, thank you so much for spending your time with me in the Woodlawn Cafe today. We shall speak again.
Yeah,
at some point
fab.
Soon. Thank you so much. If people want to get hold of you, what on earth do they do?
Come over to LinkedIn. You just search Barbara Nixon. I'm there pretty much every day. Happy for you to direct message me. Tell me what you thought of the podcast. You can go to my website, barbaranixon.co.uk. If you're a business leader, then there's an assessment on there that you can go take for nothing, and it gives you a nice little report. But all the usual places.
Beautiful. Barbara, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it.